what's going on? It's Wednesday, November 20th. I'm Jeff. This is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. We are in week 12. Hard to believe. Just 3 weeks left in the fantasy football regular season. Of course, we got you covered over at FTNFantasy.com. Heard a rumor there might be a possible deal next week. I mean, next week's a big sales week. Just heard a rumor. You might want to check it out if you're shopping around here. Also, FTNFantasy.com, a fantasy subscription or any subscription, pretty good gift for the holiday season. All right, so today on the show, I don't actually have a ton to talk about. So I actually wanted to talk a couple strategy points on today's show after we rip through very, very brief news. I do want to talk about what happens if you got into sort of a bye week issue where you picked up somebody who now you probably shouldn't drop. So we'll talk about how to handle that. And seemingly the topic of the day, which was surprising to me on my radio show on SiriusXM, was the idea of endgame strategy. And, you know, so I talk about endgame strategy as something that I do at the very, 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 very end of fantasy football seasons. So I'll tell you what that means to me and why it's important to not deploy that sort of thing too early. Let's get into this news, though. So the latest news, only thing I really saw today of any note is that Brandon Cooks was designated to return, not activated. It's a 21-day practice window. And I'll be honest, I have no interest in Brandon Cooks whatsoever. You know, I barely have interest in anything on that squad. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb, maybe Rico Dowdle, possibly a desperation Cooper Rush for Superflex since we do have six teams on bye this week, but no interest in Brandon Cooks. I figure that question would at least come up, but no interest in him. Just a friendly reminder this week. So you have Atlanta, Buffalo, Cincinnati, New Orleans, the Jets, and the Jaguars all on bye. I am getting a lot of these questions of, you know, would you pick up this player? And a lot of times I look at the player who I'm getting asked or the series of players, and I guess Brandon Cooks could get tossed into this because I'm sure his name will get thrown out there. And it's like, no. And people are always like, you know, how do you make that determination? How do you know who to pick up, who to not pick up? I can't tell you what the future is. I know that part at least. So I can't tell you who's going to be the absolute perfect pickup every single time. No, can't do that. But what I can tell you is how I make the decision. You know, I can tell you about that. And it's not hard. It really is not. There's no like secret knowledge or anything that I'm using here. I will look at the players and I will say, does this player have any chance of starting for me? And if the answer is no, then there's no reason to roster that player. Like if it's just bench depth, like bench depth is really just a waste of your bench. It's not worth rostering. Like I mentioned, like Troy Franklin, for example, like he'll never play for us. And if he is playing for us, wow, we have problems, right? So that's the determination. I don't feel the need to pick up a dude just because he's projected to have 5.8 points or something like that. I would rather use those bench spots more strategically or, well, ideally, I've been using those bench spots all along with guys who can start for me. There's a reason why I draft the way that I do. I'm not worried about quarterback in especially one quarterback leagues, but even in Superflex, not as worried about it as a lot of other people are, because really what I want to establish is I want to establish a group of wide receivers and to a lesser extent running backs who I can start. Like if I have seven wideouts who are startable, then I'm in a great spot. And I realize, oh yeah, I know you can only start three or you can only start four or whatever the rules are in your league, but that's in a given week. And as this season has shown us, injuries can happen. If you had just four startable wide receivers and one of them goes down, you're a little bit screwed. You know, you're not going to find that help on waivers in most instances. If you have five, okay, you can kind of get by, but you're still leaving yourself without depth. You know, that's the idea here. Also, as this season has shown us, especially this week and in 2 weeks from now, bye weeks are a problem. You know, bye weeks are a definite problem. So, yeah, you may only be able to start three or four or whatever the number is in a given week, but you do not start three or four or whatever the number is over the course of a season. That depth is super important. And I can't tell you how often I see it in my home leagues. Now, in my home leagues, I don't care. I want them to do this. But if you're a listener to this podcast, you're a subscriber at FTN, I don't want you to do this. I can't tell you how often I see people fill out their starting lineup in a draft. Well, I got my starters. And it's like, well, what if those starters get hurt? Or what if those starters don't pan out? Like if you're drafting starters and bench, then on your bench, you have guys who can't start for you. And that's a problem. So, you know, that sort of thought process there, and that ultimately plays out with waiver ads as well. So getting a lot of that at this time of year. Let me rip through the other news items because there really isn't much. Brock Purdy has a sore shoulder, but I don't think it's anything big. We'll keep an eye on his practice status through the week. Remember, over on the other podcast feed, The Rant is where you get me on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. The other one is George Kittle. Apparently he was close to playing, which isn't a surprise last week. He should be back this week. He's been awesome this season. You know you're using him if you have him. The other news items, oh yeah, and there's really nobody of note who is banged up over on the Cleveland Browns or Pittsburgh Steelers for Thursday Night Football. So we're actually looking at least that part is good. It's a projected low-scoring affair, 36.5 over under, with the Steelers 4-point favorites currently on the road. Okay, so let me talk about what happens if you added somebody, you're in a bye week situation or maybe an injury situation, and that somebody does quite well. And there are a couple notable examples. Bo Nix at quarterback, and these would be quarterback or tight end decisions, because remember, typically my recommendation is with tight end, I only like to roster one. I'll have, if I have a very good one, like an every week starter, like a Trey McBride or somebody like that, then I'll add a tight end during the bye week, and then that's it. And usually, you can cut that tight end loose. Well, you may have added Taysom Hill. You might have added Will Disley. So we'll get into that in a minute. Quarterback, I do like to often start the season in one quarterback leagues with safe and upside, but after the first month of the season, once you get into the bye weeks, you can usually make the determination, did the upside hit? If the answer is yes, like, you know, Jaden Daniels, okay, you can cut loose the safe guy. If the answer is no, you can continue with the safe guy, but you're still searching the waiver wire for the next upside guy. And we kind of found one of those in Bo Nix, right? So you could have been in a situation too where you added him. But regardless, we're here. Say you have Kyler Murray and Bo Nix. Say you have George Kittle and Taysom Hill or something like that, right? You have a guy who didn't play last week at tight end and you picked up Taysom Hill or you picked up Will Disley. What do you do now? Because the recommendation is to roster just one guy, but it's not a one-size-fits-all 100% of the time. Always, always, always you have to do this. No, it's a roster management strategy that really is designed to do two things. First and foremost, it makes our job easier when it comes to start-sit decisions, because if you have two guys who are closely ranked and you have to decide between the two of them and you don't just start the highest ranked, you agonize over the decision, you could end up choosing the wrong guy, right? That's one reason. The second reason is how we use our bench. I would rather have those startable caliber wide receivers or, you know, running backs potentially as well on my bench, not a second quarterback, not a second tight end, right? But you're in a situation now. If you have Kyler Murray and you have, you know, Bo Nix, you have Trey McBride and Will Disley or whatever it is, you can't really drop Bo Nix right now. Bo Nix is a top 10 guy. I have him ranked sixth this week. You can't drop him. You know, you can't drop Kyler Murray either, because you're going to give your opponents the opportunity to pick up somebody who they can start. And honestly, this week especially, you might have an opponent who has Joe Burrow or Josh Allen, maybe not Kirk Cousins, but still, you're giving them a starter. Or maybe they've been fighting an uphill battle at quarterback, and then you just hand them a starter. I don't really want to do that. I'm not blocking them here, but I'm also recognizing the fact that I can't sacrifice value to my league. Same thing at tight end. You know, if I have Will Disley and say I picked him up, had Trey McBride last week, I'm starting Trey McBride. Trey McBride's a top four guy for me, but Disley's a top 10 guy. And we know how bad the position is. So I'm not just going to hand over, hey, you want help at tight end? Here you go. I'm going to have to keep rostering that guy. Now, Taysom Hill is a unique situation. I've gotten more Taysom Hill questions than probably anybody else this week. So Taysom Hill, first and foremost, anytime a guy scores a massive amount of fantasy points, the masses in fantasy are going to, you know, be foaming at the mouth. They're, you know, stumbling over themselves. And there is this tendency in fantasy football for people to think that whatever just happened is always going to happen. You know, no matter if it's good or bad, right? If a guy has a crappy week, then he's always going to have crappy weeks. Like, what is going on with this player? What's up with him? And usually my advice, well, not usually, my advice is always look at not just this week, look at the last several weeks. Same thing with great games. If a player has a great game, then people just simply assume he's always going to have a great game. I mean, I'll tell you, fantasy-wise, I got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine questions, and it's like, this guy had two catches last week. Like, no, I'm not interested in him. But Taysom didn't have just two. In fact, he had eight catches and obviously had a historically good day on the ground as well. How sustainable is that? What should we do with him on bye? I mean, let's answer the first question first. How sustainable is it? Well, for Taysom Hill, this is Taysom Hill. He is a boomer bust guy. He has a massive ceiling any given week, but he also has a reasonably low floor, and we can look over the last four games and see exactly that. He's also a tight end, though, who touches the ball at least six times a game basically most of this season. So that's a plus, but realize he still does have that tight end tendency of being boom or bust. Just the fun thing with him is his ceiling is higher than pretty much any other tight end out there. Maybe Brock Bowers, Kelce, like a few guys could be in that conversation, but Taysom's is enormous, right? It's enormous. But the production from last week is not fully sustainable. I mean, if anything, him having a game like that only confirms the initial evaluation of Taysom Hill. So we just have to realize that. Now, what do we do through bye week? Could you drop him? Sure. Nobody can use him this week, but somebody might pick him up. You know, and obviously somebody can use him next week. So I think in most instances, you might just have to stay put. Now, you could be in a really tough predicament, especially if you're in a short bench league where you need starters this week. Taysom Hill can't help you there. So you may have to make that tough decision. If I'm in a regular size bench league, like at least six bench spots, you probably have to hold on to him because he's going to be a top 10 option, if not better than a top 10 option next week. So the two answers to our question. You know, in some ways too, this links up with the other topic because, you know, I find a couple things that fantasy managers tend to do. Like these are like pitfall, like blunders that a lot of folks, you know, it's common mistakes they make. You know, the one I was just talking about is essentially assuming that whatever just happened is always going to happen. And that's not true. That's not how football works. It's not how fantasy football works. The other one that I find, and it's so common, is that people just always want to get ahead of things. Instead of doing step one, they want to do step five. It's like trying to, you know, it's trying to answer a start sit question on Tuesday. Like, we don't need to do that on Tuesday. We don't have the information to truly make that determination. We can set an initial lineup on our commissioner platforms, right? But we're not truly making a start-sit decision until we get really the inactives. Like, that's the last piece of information. Then we can finally make that determination. Now, there's going to be some instances where, duh, you're starting. If you have Lamar Jackson, like, you're starting Lamar Jackson. But you may have a flex decision, or you may have a wide receiver decision or what have you. And we really just need all the information to do so. We can't do step five unless we've gotten past step one, two, three, four. And I find that as well with roster management. I talk about the fantasy season like a game of chess. The opening phase in a game of chess, you're establishing your position. You're, you know, moving your pieces on the board. A lot of times, like, there's like a script you'll follow, right? The book moves, but you're establishing your position, right? That's what you're doing in the opening phase. And that's really like the first month or so of a fantasy football season. You set things up in the draft, and then you start to establish your position in that first month or so. The first month is always weird. You know, you see weird stuff in September, the first 2 weeks. things that really may not give us much of an indication at all. And you just try to not overreact. At the same time, you're evaluating things like if you go safe or safe and upside. But one of the biggest mistakes I used to make was I always got so far ahead of myself and I would drop players after the first week or two, trying to pick up the flavor of the week. The flavor of the week didn't pan out. And the player I dropped, I should have just trusted my evaluation on in draft because they end up being a pretty good option, right? Over the long term. So that's one of the things. Like, there was a lot of patience there over that first month of the season. Then we get into middle game, and here's where we're now using what we have at our disposal to hopefully start beating up on our opponents. The bye weeks kick in. You know, I always say that my approach typically doesn't lead to a great September, and that's okay. Like, if you get out of September 1-3, whatever, because you don't have three losses. Guess what? You could finish the season with just three losses. And I saw that here a lot with my own squads this year. You know, didn't get out to these hot starts, but once we hit the bye weeks, my opponents didn't have enough depth to sustain. I did start to stack those wins, right? So that's the middle phase. Now, when I talk about end game, it literally is the end of the game. Now, there's no universal definition as to when end game starts in chess, but it's the end of the game. And for me in fantasy football, that means when I'm facing elimination. Now, that could mean I'm, you know, on the edge of not making the playoffs, but usually it really means the playoffs is when I start using endgame strategies. And there's only a couple of them. You know, the one main one would be blocking. You know, definitely do that in the fantasy championship if my opponents need something. Now, they may not. You know, just because you have the strategy doesn't mean you use the strategy, right? But if they need something, maybe they need a quarterback, I would go out and I would pick up the top two or three quarterbacks on waivers, right? Well, in week 17, that makes sense. In week 12, it doesn't make sense. If I was to do that in week 12, say I'm facing an opponent, my opponent has Josh Allen. I go out and I pick up three quarterbacks and put them on my bench. You know what I just did? I just dropped three dudes from my bench who I likely still need next week. The week after, especially the week after, week 14, man, six teams on bye again. I just hurt my roster because I was trying to get ahead of myself with a strategy that really doesn't work right now. You know, that's what I'm talking about with endgame. And the most important part of the endgame strategy is knowing when to use it. Week 12 is not when we use it. We use it really in the fantasy playoffs when we're facing elimination. And that's really it. You know, otherwise, I don't like to change much of what I'm doing, especially if it's working. I mean, if you've advanced that far, getting too cute in the fantasy postseason is an easy way to lose. So anyway, that topic came up today. I figured, you know, here's a nice format where I can flesh it out a little bit more. But really, one of the most important things that I've learned in playing this game is patience. It's hard to have in fantasy football, but it is so stinking important. Not getting ahead of yourself, not doing step five when you're at step one is so important and typically leads to better play in fantasy football. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me today. Remember, Mike Randall does a Sunday night. So you, first thing in the morning on Monday, you get all the intel from the previous Sunday of action. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Also, my podcast, The Rant, go and subscribe to that if you aren't already subscribed. On socials, at Jeff Ratcliffe on X, Twitter, whatever, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Blue Sky. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.